following audio is from St. Nick's Durham. As a church, we exist to love God, love people, and love Durham. We hope that this sermon will serve you well as a supplement to your regular Bible reading, prayer, and participation in your local church. For more information about St. Nick's Durham, directions or resources, please visit stnicks.org.uk.
So our first reading today is found in Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 to 10, and you can find that on page 901 in the Church Bibles. And it's entitled Hosea's Wife and Children. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ammi, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called children of the living God." And then the New Testament reading is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, and you can find that on page 1042 in the Church Bibles. Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameful audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. Let's pray. Father God, we echo the prayer of the disciples said down the centuries, "Lord, teach us to pray." Amen. A young man had been planning what he thought of a holiday of a lifetime for many, many months. He wanted to go and walk some of the great wilderness trails of North America. He'd planned meticulously. He knew in some of those areas there were grizzly bears. He'd read all he could on how to deal with them, how to contain his food, everything he could. And so he started on his holiday of a lifetime, trekking with his backpack. 3 or 4 days into the hike, he heard rustling behind him. Turning, he saw the biggest grizzly bear that has ever walked this earth. It was running straight towards him. He quickened his pace, but the bear got closer and closer. He began to run, but the bear ran faster, eventually catching him. The bear had the young man in a bear hug. The young man did the only thing he could think of. He prayed, "Father, if you can, at least make this bear a Christian." At that, the bear put the man down, put his paws together and prayed for what we are about to receive. Lord, make us truly thankful. Prayer. One of the greatest privileges we have, one of the most difficult things we have. Over decades of being a minister, and I'm sure if I were to ask you this morning, what 2 areas of your Christian faith would you want to improve? I suspect for most, if not all of us, it would be prayer and Bible reading. Or is that just me? It seems the disciples felt something like that. They would have been taught formal prayer from being a very young age. Being brought up as men within that Jewish culture, they would have learnt prayers. So what are they asking when they say, "Lord, teach us to pray"? Let me just put that in more modern terms. Hey, have you seen how Jesus prays? Not like we've been taught. It's intimate. He calls God Abba, Father. His prayers are relevant to what's happening around us, to us. Don't we all want to pray like that? Let's ask Jesus to teach us how to pray like he does. So often we focus on the mechanics of prayer, rather like those first disciples, the how, the why, the when, the who. Jesus focuses on the who. This is not so much explanation as invitation. This is prayer based on relationship, not form. And this request from the 12, "Lord, teach us to pray like you do," and I'm going to keep adding that little bit on the end, "like you do." It's not about teachers' prophecy. They didn't ask teachers how to plant churches, how to worship, how to witness. They didn't pray, "How do we start a Bible group?" They didn't pray, "How do we start a cafe?" As important as all those things are, they ask the right thing. Teach us how to pray. Because all of those things, all the things we do, all we are in our Christian life, should rely on the undergirding of prayer. If not, it will fail. In Matthew's gospel account of what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives a more of a formula template for prayer. But here in Luke, it's more of a type of prayer than a liturgy. And I want to pass over the content of the prayer, because what struck me was the parable Jesus told after that short prayer. It's what Jesus says about praying. And did you notice that Jesus started with, if you pray? No, he didn't, did he? He started when you pray. Our Lord just assumes we will be prayers. So when you pray. The parable. And as a reminder, the word parable comes from the Greek. It means to contrast or compare, to lay one thing alongside another, to compare them. So this isn't Jesus saying, this is what God's like. This is Jesus saying, if that's what the man's like, just think what God's like. So a man and his family are in bed. This, I'm guessing, would have been the usual kind of a house in a village. One room, just a block. The back half of it raised off the ground. That would be the living quarters for the family, where they ate, where they slept. The front part, at ground level, would were the family would bring in any animals they had for safety overnight. So imagine the scene. And I do think Jesus meant this to be humorous. The house is settled. It's midnight. Kids asleep. Remember, parents, what that's like when the kids sleep? Animals fast asleep. Husband and wife happily snoring away. When all commotion is let loose, some idiot is banging at the door at midnight. The cow starts mooing. The chickens start clucking. The goat joins in. The kids are screaming and crying. The wife is staring daggers at her husband. For goodness sake, says the householder, what on earth are you doing banging on the door at this hour? Well, it's like this. A friend of mine called out of the blue, and we've no bread. This is in a culture, in a time when hospitality was almost a holy requirement. Can you spare us a loaf or two? Short answer, no. And yet, said Jesus, because the man persists, because he's shameless in his asking, the owner will get up and give him what he needs. This isn't, as I said, saying what God is like, reluctant, annoyed because we disturbed him. This is about contrast and compare. The parable is more about us coming to God in prayer. And Jesus encourages us to be like that man, shamelessly knocking, keep on knocking, keep on asking. Those of you with young children, live daily with a wonderful example of what Jesus is talking about here. A few weeks ago, Angie and I were with a young family friend of ours. They have two sons, one's 2, 1, 4, and their birthdays are on the same day, 5th of June. And we'd gone down to Surrey to spend some time and to celebrate their birthdays. And the little one, who's a real bruiser of a guy, 2 years old, if he wanted something, he let his mum know he wanted something. He would follow around the house tugging at a scare, she'd go to the loo and he'd stand at the door saying, "Mum, I want, please, can I?" And it's that persistence that the lad didn't give up. He continued. And this is what Jesus says to us. Continue, keep at it, don't give up. The ultimate gift of this kind of prayer is Father giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. If I'm honest, I wanted to end the sermon at that point, to end on a high note, as it were. But I can't. I reckon every one of us this morning, if we're honest, if we have ever prayed at all, prayed for someone, prayed for something, prayed earnestly, but we didn't receive, they didn't get that much needed job, they weren't healed, they didn't get that place in the uni of their choice. Why do so many of our prayers seemingly go unanswered? And I get so cross, I mean really cross, when someone says to me, "Oh, well, so-and-so told me it's because I didn't pray hard enough. I didn't confess enough. There must be sin in my life. I asked for the wrong thing. I'm not in alignment with God's plans." Yeah, there might be areas we have to look at, but I doubt there are very few really occasions when those negatives apply. And I think we also need to understand that no is a very valid answer to prayer. I don't have a nice, easy answer to this. If I did, I'd write a book and make a fortune. But I want to share something that I learned some decades back and I keep coming back to. Some of you may have heard of, may remember, an American pastor called John Wimber. John started what became known as the Vineyard Christian Fellowship. And under God's call, John developed a very powerful ministry of healing. He says how he knew beyond doubt, this was what God was calling him to, what became known as signs and wonders. And yet, he says, for a year he prayed for the sick. Some got worse. Some died. Very few were supernaturally healed. He asked Father what was going on. Why, praying as God had called him to, he was not healing people. Father told John, "You don't heal anybody. I ask you to pray. That's all I ask you to do. What happens after that prayer is not down to you. What comes of that prayer is my responsibility, not yours." And then John Wimber said this, "I learnt in that hard school of prayer that God heals and God doesn't. That is his responsibility, not mine." Doesn't answer those difficult times. But I do think at times we need to remember God is God. I love that passage in Romans when Paul talks about the Spirit praying for us, when he says in unutterable words, in the Greek it's unutterable grunts, the Spirit hears what we're praying for and takes them and prays them for us. So even our sighs, our groans, the longing in our heart, God hears as prayer. So I want to encourage you, beloved. I want to challenge you, because I was challenged right in this, and if I'm challenged, why shouldn't you be? To keep on praying. I think we all go through times of wildernesses when prayer is the hardest thing we can do. We sit down to start praying, 30 seconds later, we're doing something else. And there'll be times when we can spend, I'm going to say hours, but a long time in prayer, and it flies past, and we feel we're in the presence of God. That's the nature of prayer. Sometimes it's like a wilderness. Sometimes it's like a brilliant oasis. So let us be persistent. Let's keep on asking. And keep on asking. And keep on asking. Let's seek Father's will. What is God saying to me in this? What is God doing in this? Keep knocking. Keep knocking on the throne room of grace. And however good, however bad your prayer life is, don't give up. Let's just pray. Lord, we come to you that you will continue teaching us to pray by your Spirit, that you even intercede for us when we don't know what to say or what to do. Give us, Lord, that persistence in our prayer. In Jesus' name, and for his glory we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Nick's Durham podcast. If you'd like to hear more sermons and teaching like this, then subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about St. Nick's, visit our website at stnicks.org.uk.